Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to Circle Sanctuary Network Podcasts, brought to you by Circle Sanctuary, one of the oldest nature spirituality churches in the United States, connecting people of nature-centered paths around the world. Join us through the week for a variety of shows discussing various topics, celebrating the divine in all of its forms through nature worship, rituals, education, and building bridges of community.
This is Selena Fox, and welcome to Nature Spirituality with Selena Fox. We are having a chance to celebrate winter solstice tonight, and let us hope that the technology will work. And I was moving ahead with my live stream, and then the phone dropped. So I'm having an opportunity to multitask as we start our show. So thanks for bearing with me. And yes, the attempt to have me on two platforms at once is an ongoing opportunity to connect as well as problem solve at certain times. So this is part of a series of Yuletide workshops that I've been doing this month. I also have Nature Mystic, my other podcast that is on every Sunday afternoon. So we're continuing to do our Yuletide series. And we are going to shift from Yuletide, celebrating the solstice and the new solar year, to next week, celebrating the new calendar year, which is also part of Yuletide. So, welcome! Good Yule! This is Selena Fox, and I'm coming to you live on my Selena Fox Updates Facebook page, as well as live via my Nature Spirituality Weekly Podcast on CSNP, Circle Sanctuary Network Podcast, Circle Sanctuary's Internet Radio Network. And tonight we're going to explore Yuletide goddesses, different forms of the divine as goddess that's been connected over time and across cultures with winter solstice time and the new calendar year. I have a variety of images of various goddesses on an altar. And for those of you who are watching live on Facebook, you can see some of these images here. And for those of you who are listening, you'll have a chance to see an image of this on social media in the next few days. And one of the great things about Yuletide is it's an opportunity to connect with the celebration of this wonderful time of year in a variety of ways. I'd like to begin by calling on all the goddesses of the Yuletide season. 2018, I had the opportunity to connect with a wise old Shinto priestess in her 90s who was there to speak about her religion and Japanese culture and some of its connections with Buddhism. It was a really fascinating presentation. And so I want to start out our celebration of the light of solstice and the new solar year with Amaterasu. But let's journey now to another part of the world. Lucia, Santa Lucia. December 13th in Sweden is Lucia's Day. And to represent her, this sun maiden, the oldest young woman, the oldest daughter in a household, will dress in white, wear a red sash around her waist, and wear a crown of candles, and serve the family breakfast on Lucia's Day. Now, Lucia is a multicultural, interreligious form of divine feminine. Yes, she is a pagan sun maiden goddess. But as Christianity came across Europe, she became a saint, which was the case for a lot of goddesses making a transition in a place from pagan ways to Christian ways. And she is a goddess connected with the light, with hope, with celebration. And why December 13th? Well, there were calendar changes. The Gregorian calendar changed European calendars, 1752 in many places, and there is a 12-day adjustment. And the old winter solstice in Sweden was December 13th. Well, although the calendar is shifted and winter solstice now is on or near December 20th, 21st, 22nd, depending on the year, and the circuit around our planet, circling the sun, that the 13th of December continues to be an important day of celebration and Lucia's Day, not only in Sweden, but in some other Scandinavian countries, as well as in places in the world that have people of Swedish and Scandinavian descent. I have Swedish ancestry on my father's side of the family, and I celebrate Lucia's Day every year. I get up at dawn and greet the sun. I have a honoring of Lucia. I connect with my ancestors and celebrate solstice. There are a number of things connected with Lucia, and she is not only a figure within spiritual life, but she is represented in public and private celebrations on and near Lucia's Day, including in the public square and in Christian churches. Now, she is accompanied by the one depicting Lucia wears the crown of candles, and she's followed by other young women, not with a crown of candles, but also dressed in white with a red sash, followed by star boys And often in the procession, you will have the Yule box, which also harkens back to old pagan Viking times, as well as depictions of the Nissa, or Tomte, the nature spirits, which have continued to be in international popular culture these days as Santa's elves. Lucia, some say, merged with Lucina, the ancient Roman goddess of light and childbirth. And in some contemporary pagan traditions, she, Lucia, and Lucina are considered different forms of the same goddess. Even though you have a Roman pagan dimension with Lucia, Lucina, and Lucia, the goddess of light, both names mean light. Elsewhere in the world, there are places where the sun is considered a sacred female form, and in the Baltic countries, that is also the case. Sole is the goddess of the sun, and people sing to her at winter solstice time. One of the alignments that I have as part of my own spiritual life is that of Bridget, or Brige. And while many people will connect with her at the beginning of February, for me, this sun goddess is a form of the divine that I honor and work with throughout the year. So for me, working with Bridget is an important part of my daily life as well as my work with Celtic spiritual traditions. Wow, it's honor. The goddesses of Yuletide that are sun goddesses. And let's honor the Yuletide goddesses of winter. So we go from brilliant light and the sun with the days getting longer to working with the goddesses of the fierce winter. One of these is the Kaliak, and she comes to us from Scottish tradition. Now, she's sometimes called the Winter Crone, and she has a variety of guises, often fierce guises, and she represents the dangerous parts of the winter time. She figured in sacred stories over the ages. And this goddess of winter was one that you wanted to be on a good side with. So for some traditions, paying respects to the spirit of winter was an important part of Yuletide celebrations. Now, when you head to Eastern Europe, you will encounter a variety of goddesses connected with wintertime, including Urkta or Perkta, Baba Yaga from Russia and Slavic lands is part of this. And in Germanic realms, she is sometimes seen as a distinct goddess, Perkt or Bertha, and sometimes she's seen as part of a more multifaceted winter solstice goddess known as Holda. Old women, old female goddesses, representing going into the colder time of year. honoring these goddesses, respecting these goddesses, giving offerings of porridge and fruit and wine to these goddesses. Also something that has gone across cultures through the ages. I'd like to share with you a bit about a particular wintertime goddess that's in the form of a Yuletide witch. In fact, she's sometimes known as the Christmas witch. La Befana or Befana. Befana. On January 5th, Befana's night, with her broom, she rides the night and brings gifts to children. Wonderful gifts for those who have been good. Lumps of coal or switches for those who need improvement with their behavior. Befana is a beloved character in ancient Italy, and one of the theories that I subscribe to, and it's come from my own research into ancient Roman religion, as well as networking with some contemporary practitioners of Italian witchcraft, that Befana seems to be rooted in the crone priestess who concluded Saturnalia, the week-long at times, depending on when in the Roman Republic and Empire you take a look at, but Saturnalia is the Roman winter solstice. And on the very last day of winter solstice, it was said that people... giving my voice a bit of time to recover. It's been pretty cold, and the winter is settling in with us. People went into the temples for divination with the crone priestess. So I actually think Befana has her roots with the ancient Roman religion. Think about it. Why do you have a old woman flying around on a broom during a supposed Christian holiday? Now, Befana's night is January 5th, which is the eve of Epiphany, the time of the Magi in the Western Christian Church tradition. Befana's story actually talks about the wise men coming by and talking with her and inviting her to go to see the baby Jesus. Well, she was busy doing housework and other things and decided not to go. Then decided later she was going to go and try to catch up with them. Well, she never did go to the Christ child, but she had lots of gifts and was flying around, and that's all part of the Befana story. And in some parts of Italy, she is depicted by older women going door to door, giving out gifts to children in the public square. Some people will gather, well, we're pandemic year this year, so I imagine there'll be Befana celebrations online. But they've had images of her, representations of her, strung high above the street, and through mechanical wizardry have actually had her fly across the street. So if you go and Google Bafana on YouTube, you can actually see some of her celebrations and depictions. So Bafana is also kind of crone winter goddess, but one who nurtures as well. So what are some other goddesses of Yuletide? Well, in addition to having those who are connected with the sun and those connected with the winter time, this is a time of the birth of the new solar year. And for that reason, it's a time of the Great Mother. We're going to journey to Mexico this time, and Our Lady of Guadalupe, also known as Tenantzin, appeared in the first part of December, December 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th, depending on who you talk with, several days in a row. The 12th of December is her feast day as Our Lady of Guadalupe. But she is a divine feminine form that actually is an amalgamation of Tenantzin, the maize mother of ancient Mexico. And she appeared as Our Lady of Guadalupe in the 1500s at a spot where the indigenous population had been honoring Tenantzin for generations, Tepeyac. So I consider this form of the Virgin Mary, Tenantzin, Our Lady of Guadalupe, is also a Yuletide goddess, for she's honored in December, and she is a form of the Great Mother. And Virgin Mary, she takes a lot of different forms, and I'd like to share with you this form, which is a Black Madonna, a form of the mother of Jesus. And you can see her here holding the Christ child. This is her form from a place known as Montserrat, which is in Spain, in Catalonia. And at the Parliament of the World's Religions in 2004, prior to the start of this international interreligious conference, I was there at a religious leaders conference at Montserrat, and was able to see the ancient Black Madonna, bigger than this. This is a replica. Got it from the monastery gift shop. And the Black Madonna could be a whole workshop unto itself, a combination of ancient pagan earth goddess, Great Mother, with Christian divine feminine, the Blessed Virgin Mary. So the Great Mother can take a variety of different forms. And you go back earlier in time, and you will have another form of the Great Mother. This is one of her forms, Aset, or Isis, as she was known in the Greco-Roman world. She emerged in ancient Egypt, and we know that she is an all-goddess and a goddess connected with birthing light. So So some in the Kemetic traditions and other forms of Egyptian paganism call on this form of the Great Mother, Isis or Aset, at winter solstice time. Some of the ancient Egyptian temples are aligned with the winter solstice rising sun and or sunset. But we have some other mother figures to share with you. Fra Hola, or Hoda, a winter solstice goddess who changes form depending on the tale and the people. She may appear as a maiden goddess with a beautiful cloak with down feathers of geese. She shakes her cloak and it snows. She may appear as a wise old crow. She who collects the souls of the dead on the wild hunt. And she may appear as the nurturing mother. There is a Grimm's fairy tale about Hoda or Fra Hola. Two sisters, one who is hardworking and responsible, one who was lazy and needing a change in behavior and attitude, had encounters with Hola. The hardworking one fell down in a well, according to one version of the tale, and along the way in this passage was given tasks. She accomplished each of the tasks, and when she arrived at her destination, Fra Hola gifted her with gold and blessing. She returned home. Her lazy sister saw what she had obtained, and she jumped into the well and flunked all the tests and ended up getting covered with pitch and being punished. Well, as with so many morality tales, be they pagan, Christian, or from some other religion, you have good ways of behaving and ways of behaving that need improvement through punishment at times or encouragement at other times. So Hoda has many tales connected with her in many forms. And when one helps Hoda out, she blesses the one that helps her or helps others on her behalf. So she is a goddess connected with winter solstice eve and winter solstice day, but for the whole Yuletide period. And she not only has the kindly sides of her, but she at times will be a disciplinarian. Some say that Bertha or Pert are actually a shadow side of Hoda. Some say they're all part of the same goddess. Some say they are paired goddesses. So as we continue our journey into the winter solstice time and goddesses connected with them, I would like to share with you some contemporary goddesses. The Yuletide fairy, just one way that she might appear. For many years, Circle Sanctuary has had a public winter solstice celebration. It was called Winter Solstice Ritual back in the 70s, and then winter solstice celebration in the 80s and 90s, and then the 2000s, he evolved into the winter solstice pageant. And more recently, we've been calling it the longest night and holding it on winter solstice eve, or one of the longest nights leading up to winter solstice day. And when we were doing this event as a pageant, we would have people dressed as Yuletide characters, divinities, folkloric figures. And the Yuletide Fairy was a big hit, and one of our community members, a professional actress, dressed up as the Yuletide Fairy. And in some pagan households in America and some other parts of the world, it's the Yuletide Fairy that brings gifts instead of Santa. Or for those Yuletide households that are multi-faith or that are very multifaceted in the celebration of Yule, you have the Yuletide Fairy bringing a gift on winter solstice eve or winter solstice day, and you had Santa bringing gifts on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. Well, there's some other forms of winter solstice celebration in the form of characters of this holiday time. Some personify Holly as a Holly girl. Now, sometimes it's Holly boys, but this is Holly, depicted by a sculptor, Tom Karen, Karen Studio, and one of my favorite Yuletide figures. He also conceptualized another form of Yuletide character as a old woman. So this is actually part Mrs. Claus and Bafana. You've got Christmas Eva, a gift-bearing witch. So these are not specifically goddesses with a long tradition, but goddess-like in terms of their iconic depictions. Winter solstice eve, Yuletide as a whole, and Christmas Eve is a time for honoring these goddesses, the mothers. And the mothers, and this is a reproduction of a depiction of the three mothers, is something that combines German paganism from the ancient past with Roman paganism. For Germany was settled by the Romans for hundreds of years, and during that time of Roman occupation, as so often is the case when different cultures connect, clash, one conquers another, there's a merging of beliefs and conceptualizations. So when you hear about triple goddesses in contemporary paganism, you often think of maiden, mother, and crone. And indeed, with the Yuletide goddesses, we have the sun maiden, Lucia, the mother, Hola, and the crone, Bafana. But this is an example of a triple goddess in the form of three mothers. We know about the mothers because a monk set down some of the lore in writings during the Dark Ages, and that's how we know about the Mondranuk, which is Mother's Night. So one of the Yuletide festivals that I celebrate personally and in our household, because I have some German heritage, I have heritage from many different parts of Europe as well as from America itself, I will do an honoring of the mothers. And I work with this particular image, because it's traditional and it goes through time and space and can connect ancient practice with contemporary celebration. It's a way of attuning to the mothers who are nurturing, who are creative, who bestow prosperity and abundance. So, Christmas Eve is coming up in 2020, tomorrow night. Good time to celebrate the mothers. Now, Mrs. Claus is also part of popular culture, and she doesn't always get much of the same attention that Santa Claus gets. But yet, she actually is a form of Hola. And I have an old print from more than 100 years ago that shows Santa and Hola together receiving a bunch of revelers. And so we know that there's been a female gift giver and a female form of Yuletide spirits since the most ancient of times. And one of the fabulous things about studying Yuletide folk traditions and tales is that there's a lot of variety out there, and it's a way of being able to change up your Yuletide celebrations from year to year. You might consider, as part of your own Yuletide celebration, to pick an ancestral culture, either through your own family heritage or from the area where you live, or if you're part of a particular nature spirituality tradition connected with particular culture, looking at that spiritual ancestry part. Chances are, whatever culture or place in the world that you are going to do some research into, you will find a goddess being connected with that. And chances are, as you delve into the winter solstice time period, somewhere along the way, there's going to be some divine feminine dimension of the Yuletide celebration. I'd like to share with you some additional goddesses connected with winter solstice. Ops. We get the word opulence from her. She's the goddess of abundance. And during the Saturnalia, she was honored as the goddess of prosperity. At the turn of the calendar year, the goddess of time. Now, many are familiar with Saturn and Kronos, the Greek counterpart, because they not only were gods of agriculture connected with the winter solstice, but gods of time. Well, there's the goddess of time, Anna Perenna. And this is a time to be able to honor her as the year changes. We not only have the change of the solar year in the Northern Hemisphere as we end out our solar year at solstice time, but the calendar year changes shortly thereafter. And so for me, the Yuletide is a celebration of happy new solar year as well as happy new calendar year. There are some traditions that are connected with New Year's Day. Wassail. Wassail means be well, to your health. It's a greeting. It's a toast. It is a beverage. It's a ceremonial expression of Yuletide. And one of the traditions connected with wassail and wassailing is to go into the apple orchards on New Year's Day and take some wassail. Often it's cider-based, mulled cider, though sometimes it's a combination of ale and cider and some other alcoholic things. And you honor the trees. You have a grand procession. You have people singing. You pour libations at the roots of the biggest and the best of the apple trees. And in some traditions, there's a wassail queen and a wassail king. And it's the wassail queen, a form of Yuletide goddess, that takes a bit of white toast dipped in cider and puts it into the fork of the biggest apple tree that's being wassailed. And this is an enactment of the goddess of abundance, blessing the apple tree and trees of the orchard so that they will bring forth a bountiful harvest. While we're talking about apples, let's also remember Pomona, a goddess of fruits, and one of the traditional gifts across a number of cultures through the ages at Yuletide, apples and oranges. And Pomona is a goddess of orchards and of fruits. And for some people, they celebrate her at Yuletide. Rosanitsa. Who is Rosanitsa but a reindeer goddess from Slavic lands? In particular, she is the goddess of winter, and her feast day is December 26. And Hertha of Germany, the earth goddess, is also honored by some at Yuletide. And then there are some goddesses from across time and cultures. The good goddess, the all goddess, the Magna Mater. There is a women's festival in ancient Rome in the first part of December, and it was pretty much for entitled women, wealthy women, and it was a women's only event. The Bona Dia was honored at this time. And while not specifically linked to the winter solstice, definitely part of the time leading up to the celebration of the Saturnalia. And there are others. Babushka, a gift bringer of old Russia, often seen as an old woman, depicting winter. Demeter of Rome and of Greece, the goddess of abundance of the earth, the goddess of agriculture. And Nuit of Egypt, Nuit, celebrated by some in the Egyptian tradition. So these are just some of the Yuletide goddesses that I've encountered, that I have worked with. And what I'd like to do in this next part of our time together is guide you on a Yuletide goddess meditation. So I'm going to play my singing bowl again, and as I do, I invite you to be centered and to relax, letting the sound of the singing bowl bring healing and relaxation to you. And now in the next few moments, close your eyes if you're in a place where you can safely do so. Take some deep, slow breaths. And in your mind's eye, imagine yourself making your way into a sacred circle out in nature. It is the start of winter time. You journey to this sacred circle, and in the center of the circle is a beautiful altar. And in the center of the altar is a sacred fire. It brings warmth, it brings light. You are here to connect with the spirit of Yuletide and to call forth a deeper connection with you and this sacred time. Now, in the next few moments, walk clockwise around the circle, pausing at the north, extending your hands out, honoring that direction, moving to the east, and in light fashion, holding your hands up, honoring the east. Moving to the south, honoring the south with arms upstretched. To the west, holding your arms up and honoring the west. Moving back to the north, and then as you circle again, holding your hands towards the center. Come and stand before the sacred fire. And as you gaze into the sacred fire, you call to the spirit of Yuletide, the new solar year, to come to you in the form of a goddess. And in the next few moments of quiet, you put forth your request. And a sphere of light starts circling around this sacred circle where you have found yourself. And it comes and rests before you and grows, and from it emerges a Yuletide goddess. Pay attention to what form she is taking. Is there any particular colors? Note them. Is there an age grouping associated with this goddess? Young, middle age, older? What garb, adornment, does this goddess have? Do you get a sense of a particular culture or place or time period that this goddess is rooted in? As you continue to observe the goddess, let yourself attune to her. and then holding your hands up towards her, honor her, appreciate her in whatever form or forms she is appearing to you now. And as you raise your hands to her to honor her, she extends her hands out to you. And appearing in her hands is a gift for you. Receive the gift. Gaze at the gift. Make a note of what the gift is. Then hold that gift to your heart. Take it within yourself in a way that works for you. Closing your eyes more deeply, feel the resonance of the gift within you, of the goddess before you, of Yuletide around you. And let a message come to you about some way that you can work with this goddess at this Yuletide. To carry on your experience today into your spiritual life beyond. Pay attention to what you experience. And then as you feel complete with that, holding your hands to your heart, feeling that gift resonating within you, let love flow strongly from your heart out to the goddess. Give thanks for the gift. Give thanks for the appearance. Give thanks for the guidance. Give thanks for the experience. And then as you feel complete with that, give thanks to the sacred circle, to the sacred fire, to the spirit of Yuletide. And experiencing yourself now, holding these memories as you depart and return to the here and now, taking deep, slow breaths, opening your eyes, calling to mind your experiences with the goddess. In the Yuletide circle. Giving thanks to the circle of Yuletide and knowing that you can carry forth a deeper awareness and resonance of this season and of the divine as goddess. As you move into this new solar year, into the new calendar year. And in the next few moments, I invite you, if you are able to do so, to take a few moments and jot down your impressions, your experiences, as I play some jingle bells for this season. Yuletide goddesses, we thank you. Yuletide goddesses, we thank you. Yuletide goddesses, we thank you. Yuletide goddesses, we honor you.
and thank you for joining us on the Circle Sanctuary Network podcasts, presented by Circle Sanctuary and produced for all who follow the Nature Center paths. Join us here throughout the week for various programming connecting the community around the world. And please don't forget to watch for updates on the Circle Sanctuary website at www.circlesanctuary.org. And follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/CSNpodcasts. We can also be found on your favorite podcast hosting sites, such as iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and others. And until next time, many blessings.